Very good morning to all who are gathered here and also those who are worshipping with us online. Will you join me now in prayer as we come before the Lord for the Word? Father God, we want to thank you for the privilege of reading your Word and learning from your Word. And we pray, O Lord, that today, even as we look into Colossians, this passage, the Lord, you grant us understanding. By your Spirit, open up our hearts and minds to your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we come to the last segment of Paul's exhortations to the church in Colossae, and we will reflect on a very important question. It's the question of how do we exercise wisdom in our witness for Christ? The American evangelist D.L. Moody has this to say. Out of 100 men, one will read the Bible, the other 99 will read the Christian. This is a sobering thought, but it's so true, isn't it? That the watching world reads us Christians first, before they can be persuaded to open the Bible and read it for themselves. And as such, how shall we as Christians live our lives such that we are winsome and attractive for Christ without compromising the truth of God's Word? It's appropriate here that we cast our minds back over the past week's sermons where Paul brought the exhortations of how we are to live as a people of God, raised to new life in Christ, and we are to live differently, to have a mindset change, to change our mindset, to seek things that are above, heavenly minded, and not pursuing the things of this world, to guard our mouths against malice, slander, abusive speech, and to nurture a heart of compassion, of humility, of love, and gentleness, and to endeavor within our family to live God-honoring relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and servants. You know, this is so important because without this backdrop of a genuine Christian life that is lived out beyond a Christian setting and that goes into the home life, the work life, our words of witness will lack the ring of truth. There has to be authenticity of life so that there can be effective witness of the gospel. The New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce commented, "The reputation of the gospel is bound up with the behavior of those who claim to have experienced its saving power. People do not read the Bible or listen to the preaching of the word, but they can see those who do, and they form their judgment accordingly." And so we are the living, walking witnesses of God's truth, of His love, and of His grace. In our passage today, which forms the final section of Paul's exhortation, we read, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Now let's have a look at each verse in turn. Verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time." Now, outsiders here refers to those who are outside of the faith, the non-believers, the non-Christians. And we are told to walk in wisdom toward them. But how? How do we walk in wisdom? And that can be a question that rings in our mind when we read a passage like this. What do I do? And no, we can actually ask God for guidance. Now, the book of James tells us, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so we can come to God and ask God, "God, I need I need your wisdom. I need the wisdom to know how to relate with non-believers, how to behave and respond to them in the different worldviews, you know, that they have. They have different worldviews from us. How do I relate with them? How do I respond to their questions? How do I be attentive to opportunities where I can share Jesus with them? Jesus' commission to us is to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the Apostle Paul, in obedience to this great commission, went on his missionary journeys. And he finally reached Rome, where he was imprisoned and he wrote his prison letters. And one of these is this epistle to the Colossian church. Now for us, we may not need to go far, you know, in our Christian witness, because we can start where we are in our own Jerusalem. And our own Jerusalem is our own homes. Because within our own homes, there can be outsiders. There can be people who are outside of the faith. It can be an unbelieving spouse. It can be an unbelieving parent, parent-in-law, a brother, a sister, a daughter, a son, or our domestic helper. They are outside of the faith. And they are, as we have defined this, outsiders. They are in a group called outsiders. You know, sometimes through sure familiarity of their presence with us, you know, we see them every day, we can forget. We can actually forget them, you know. Our eyes have been set outside, you know, outside of our doors, outside. But it's within our household. They're there. And yet, you know, we forget their existence. We forget that they are there with us. Let's pray that God open our eyes to see them even more clearly now than ever before. And let's pray that with God's help and by God's grace, we live rightly before them so that they can see Jesus in us. Without a word, they can see Jesus in us. And we pray earnestly for opportunities to share our stories with them. We have many stories about how real God is. We can share our stories with them. Take the time to share with them. Evangelism, reaching out to those who are outside of the Christian faith, will then be a natural outflow of our lives. And not projects, you know, that we engage in periodically. Yeah? Like, for example, Christmas, you know, and evangelistic outreaches, and we engage in evangelism. No, evangelism will then be a natural outflow. It becomes a natural, where we share and care for people and we talk about Jesus, where we are. It becomes a way of life, our lifestyle. You know, as I was preparing this word today, I'm led to address sisters, the women in our church, sisters who happen to have non-believing husbands still at this point in time. And this is a word of encouragement to you. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Apostle Peter exhorts, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." You know that phrase? Won over without a word by your behavior. Even without speech, won over. And this is such a tremendous encouragement, isn't it? That by your very presence, and as you live out in godliness, the unbelieving spouse can see a difference. And they will be arrested by the difference. And God is so faithful, God will honor you. You know, for the children, and we are all in this category, we are all children of our parents. Whether of young age or of old age, we all have parents. And the exhortation is, honor your parents. And that is in the fifth commandment. Honor them. especially in their old age, you know, when they are less in capabilities than what they were, honor them. Treat them with honor and not with contempt. And for those with unbelieving parents and parents-in-law, and I know that there are a number of us here who are praying fervently for their salvation, persevere, because they will see the difference. And in due time, they will open their hearts to the Lord. And you know, just to encourage you, recently I've heard so many testimonies of different ones in our midst who have parents whom they've prayed for years. And in this COVID season, you know, they've responded to the gospel and they've come to Christ. And for some, it has been just in time. The homecoming to the Lord became a homegoing to the Lord. You know, Christian character is everything. It is our life-giving witness for the Lord. The messenger is the message. By our very lives, we attest to what we believe and what we proclaim. Who we are speaks louder than our words. And you know, that was how I came to know the Lord some 50 years ago. It was through the sweetness of demeanor and behavior of a choir mistress. And you know, whenever I share my story of salvation, I will always bring her up as the one whom God has used to impact me so greatly. You know, without a word, even without the sharing the gospel with me, I was just one of many teenagers, you know, looking at this choir mistress. And I was so arrested by this lady, you know. She was so different from the people whom I know, my teachers and friends, but she was so different. And at the time, I asked the question, why was she so different? What is it about her that makes her so different? And it put me on a quest, you know, with questions, asking about the meaning of life. And in the process, I met and found the Savior whom she loves. She pointed me without words to the Lord. That's the impact of Christian character. And yet, our words do count. For Paul admonished in the next verse, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. It is significant that in this closing segment that Paul should highlight again the importance of our speech. You know, earlier on in Colossians 3 itself, we know Paul talked about unwholesome talk, put it away, malice, anger, wrath, slander, abusive speech. And here he comes back again. Let your speech always be gracious. And why? I'm sure we are all very aware, you know, that words can hurt or heal. Words can tear down or build up. Words can be so offensive. They can be as sharp swords that pierce and wound the heart, you know, rather than as a healing balm that brings healing and restoration to a broken soul. And it's so unfortunate that many times we are so careless with our words, so blunt and so brutal even. And we want the people who are familiar to us, and especially those in our household, our parents. You know, we are so blunt and we can be so brutal. And perhaps even with our own colleagues, and we become stumbling blocks to them. Personally, I've been much arrested by the Lord on the importance of speech, what to say, how to say it, and I'm still learning. Do we hear ourselves? What actually flows out of our mouths? Living streams or bitter waters? In wisdom literature, we are advised that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, from Proverbs 25 and verse 11. And this is a beautiful picture, you know, of words that are spoken, which are fitting in the way that they are expressed, which are timely spoken in season and time, and which are pleasant, not jarring to the ears. And Paul exhorts that our words should be like this: gracious, gracious, fitting, pleasant, timely, seasoned with salt, flavorful, adding to the conversation, enhancing to the conversation, and not distasteful, not rotten talk, preserving truth with integrity. In our private conversations, in our public speech, we have to be mindful to engage, especially with outsiders, with sensitivity and with grace, giving respect, courteous, even when they are opposing views from us. In the ever-widening circles of relationships, you know, from our own households and to the wider circles of social relationships, friends, relatives, colleagues, our bosses, subordinates, let's exercise winsomeness in our speech, making the best use of the time. Bearing all these instructions in mind, devote ourselves to prayer. Pray for divine opportunities, for opportune times to share Jesus. And ask God to open our eyes, you know, to see these opportunities. Sometimes opportunities come and we missed it. Pray that God open my eyes, you know, to see these divine opportunities. And ask God for wisdom. How do I use these opportunities? Is it to do works of kindness, sow seeds of kindness, and to be sensitive? Are there the right God-given moments to share and speak for Him? And be ready to speak. Last week, Reverend Christopher, in his sermon, told us that we can use the method called the four. And it's using that and explaining about the heart, division, cross, and decision. But some of us may be more familiar with the four spiritual laws, or you may be familiar with the bridge method. Whichever it is that you're comfortable, practice it, perfect it. Practice makes perfect. So that when an opportunity presents itself, there's no hesitation. We can just share the gospel 5-10 minutes and present it and have the Holy Spirit bring the message across. Now, these opportunities may not happen at our convenient times. Just a few days ago, one of my colleagues shared how he prays every day for divine opportunities to share the gospel. And I was so touched by him when he shared that. And you know, one day he said, when he was coming to church to work, and he was walking past this walkway, I think you know where it is, the walkway that leads to the nave from the MRT station, he saw a man seated at a bench. And he passed him by because he was in a hurry to get out to office. But then he was detained by the Lord. And he received the clear impression, go back and talk to this man. And so obediently, he went back and sat at the bench with this man who happened to be a tourist, strike up a conversation, and then in the process, found an opportunity to sow the seeds of the gospel. Now, no salvation happened that day, but the seeds of the gospel were sown. And in God's economy of time, we know that nothing is ever wasted. One sow, another waters, is God who gives the increase. And we know that in due time, the Lord will bring the increase with this person. We are all partners in ministry, in God's vineyard. We are a team for Him. The timing for my colleague was absolutely inconvenient. He had work to do, but he was obedient. You know, divine opportunities can happen at exceedingly inconvenient times for us. For example, a day when we are so busy, and then, you know, we receive a call. And it can be a call from a lonely senior, locked up at home, lonely, and hoping, wishing that there's someone whom he or she can talk to. And when you pick up the call, how do you respond? And how do you respond lovingly? There can be a ring at a doorbell, you know, and we go to the door, and then we see a salesman at the door. How do you respond courteously and wisely, even when we are not interested in what he or she has to sell? How can we be winsome in our speech? In this COVID season, when many of us are working at home, I'm sure we encounter many such interruptions. God does send people in need to our doorstep. And our door plug, if you're like me, I have a door plug, and this one happened to be a door plug that is on my door. And the door plug is a silent witness to outsiders that we are Christians. And when we open the door, they know they're talking to a Christian. What is our response that will glorify the Lord? And who knows, this can be the divine opportunities that we have been praying for. Christmas is about a month away. This is an opportune time to connect with our non-believing friends and colleagues for our year-end services, and especially for our evangelistic service, which is on 26 December, where Reverend Christopher Chan will be preaching. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for good connections with our non-Christian friends, even our family members, especially for those who are living outside our homes. Let's pray that God lead us to them, and God lead them to us. But beyond the Christmas season, may we always be ready in season and out of season. In the ordinariness of time, in the ordinariness of life, to be a witness for the Lord. In closing, let me just allow me to read to you a poem. It's a poem written by Ira Wilson, set to music by George Schuller. Some of us will know this poem, and this song made me a blessing. And I felt, as I was preparing this sermon, that the words encapsulated are so apt for what we are thinking about today. And the words are, out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. May God make us a blessing all year round, 24/7, to all around us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we want to pray. Let the hearing of the word this morning be accompanied with faith, and also, God, with a response that is pleasing to you. Make us a blessing wherever we may be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.